come to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you through the name and through the blood of Jesus. And Lord, first thing is we want to wish you a happy Father's Day.
Happy Father's Day.
Lord, and we're just asking, Lord, today, Lord, that you would move upon the hearts of your people, O God. Give them eyes to see, ears to hear, Lord. And let them know what's upon your heart, Lord, that we, O God, may be found as a pleasing people. Lord, do what you do so well, Lord. Allow the anointing to come, Lord. Let that small, still voice, who is the Holy Spirit, come and minister to your people. Father, we pray these things through the name and through the blood of Jesus, and all of God's people said,
Amen.
You may want to lower my volume a little loud here. Praise God. Today's teaching is called The Artwork Called Father. The Artwork Called Father. Because it is Father's Day. You can just about guess what the topic is going to be about. Have you ever seen a tapestry being made? As you watch, you find the artist adds one layer of thread after another, and as you watch, the patterns begin to unfold before you. You are not sure how the worker of threads does this, but it is amazing because of how intricate the thread work itself into a pattern and it starts to become recognizable. And before you know it, a beautiful wall hanging has appeared out of nothing. And like pieces of a puzzle, it all comes into focus. That's how it is with Scripture. Its interwoven nature of what God has done is amazing. Once you see the patterns develop, you realize how masterful the plan had been. Once the puzzle pieces are connected, then all becomes clear. Have you ever worked with a 500-piece puzzle? All you see at first are random scattered pieces and shapes. But as you begin to connect them, something happens. An image begins to emerge. And when the final piece is placed, you step back and realize it was never random at all. It was all part of a big picture. A big picture. And this is what God is doing in the lives of men. Now, never judge somebody as they first start out, especially Christians. You never know when it's all done and said, how what the picture is going to be, how it's going to turn out, you know? And what if I told you the Bible works in a similar way? It looks at separate pieces of random stories from Edom to the cross to Jesus' return and are actually a single picture of God's redemptive plan woven in a tapestry of grace. And each piece connecting shares the good news of God's love for his creation. And that's exactly how I felt as I studied for the text this morning. Amen? So if we would turn to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews 13, starting in the first verse. Simple water here. Dry. Hebrews 13, verse 1. Keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers. For in by doing, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. Wow. Have any of you ever felt that at one point or time that you've shown hospitality or have run across an angel? Anybody?
Really?
Yep, go.
I felt like I did.
Okay.
But I didn't see anything.
Right. You never do. They're in disguise. Which, that's weird. I've seen that myself. Tommy says he has. Praise God. Now, John G. Patton, who lived in New Hebrides Island in South Pacific, wrote this story. Hostile natives surrounded his mission headquarters one night on intended burning the patrons out. They wanted the missionaries gone, and they were willing to kill them. John Patton and his wife prayed all during the terror-filled night that God would deliver them. When the daylight came, they were amazed to see unaccountability they could give no explain for it, that the attackers had left. They were all alone, left in a hut. They thanked God for delivering them. A year later, the chief of the tribe was converted to Jesus Christ and gave his life and became a Christian. And Mr. Patton, the missionary, remembered what had happened and asked the chief What kept him and his men from burning down the house and killing them? The chief replied in surprise. Well, he said, who were all those big men you had surrounding you there? The missionary answered and said, there were no men, it was just me and my wife. And we were hiding in the hut. And the chief argued and said, no, there have been many large men standing guard over you. Hundreds of big men in shining garments with drawn swords in their hands. And they seemed to encircle the hut that the mission was stationed in, so that the natives were afraid to attack. Unseen by the missionaries, but definitely seen by those who would do Satan's bidding. Remember the words of God. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. So in verse 6 it says, so with confidence, Hebrews 13, so with confidence the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can mortal men do to me? Remember your leaders who spoke to you the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way in life and their intimate of their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We always say, if God can do it for you, he can certainly do it for me. Amen? Do not be carried away with all kinds of strange teachings. It is good for our hearts to be strengthened by grace, not by eating ceremonial foods, which has no benefit to those who do so. We have an altar to which those who minister at the tabernacle have no right to eat. So I want you to think about this. As it's being spoken in Hebrews, he's talking about the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the high priests. He's saying, look, we as Christians have an altar they can't eat from. Why? Because it's only for those that are redeemed, those that are bought by the blood of the Lamb. We have an altar they cannot approach. The only way that they can approach this altar is by giving the hearts and lives of Jesus Christ. So this is why Paul told the Hebrews, again, we have an altar from which those who minister at the tabernacle, talking about the Pharisees, Sadducees, and those of the same ilk, have no right to eat. So we see that religious leaders today cannot approach the altar that God has given us. So who can tell me this morning where that altar is located? Yes, go ahead, answer it.
In your heart.
It's in your heart. It's in your heart. Jesus sits upon the throne of your heart. There's an altar there. When we praise and worship, we're just not praising and worshiping into the air. We have an altar that God has given each and every one of us. I hate pollen. The high priest carries the blood of animals into the most holy place as a sin offering. But the bodies are burnt outside the camp. And so Jesus also suffered outside the city gate to make people holy through his own blood. And we often know the power of the blood. Let us then go to him outside the camp, bearing the disgrace he bore. For we do not have an enduring city, but we are looking for the city that is to come. How many of you are looking for that city to come?
Amen.
Right? As we see the evil grow and grow, darkness grow and grow, worldwide, we see that there's such a division in this world. One set of group of people are heading into headlong into hell, and the other one are reaching out for the goal, reaching out for heaven, reaching out for that prize that's set before them. And it's so very obvious. There's no more like middle road. There's no more gray areas. It's pretty much one way or the other in the world today. And God is allowing this divide to happen. Just as he did. How many of you remember the story of Moses? And Moses in and he drew a line. He said, those who be for me, for God, come on this side. And those who don't, stay on that side. And what happened? The ground opened up and swallowed them whole. While they were yet alive, they went down into hell. Wow. And I believe that's what's happening spiritually in our world today. Again, verse 15. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise. That's why the altar's here. the fruit of the lips that openly profess his name, and do not forget to do good and to share with others. For such sacrifices God is pleased. So we often wonder, well, we know what the sacrifices of the Old Testament are. What are the sacrifices in the New Testament? What is the ones that God is pleased with? These are those. These are those. Let me read it again. And Jesus suffered outside the city gate to make people holy through his own blood. Let us then go outside the camp, bearing the disgrace he bore. For we do not have an enduring city, but we are looking for the city is to come. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually, not once, continually offer a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of our lips that openly professes his name. And do not forget to do good and to share with others. For such sacrifices God is pleased. Well, what are we offering to people? Is it money? Is it food? Yeah, but in a very minor sense, it's the gospel. The way of salvation. The way of escape. The way of redemption. The way to make them into children of God. That their voices would be added to the choirs of heaven when we get there. Wow. Having confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority, because they keep watch over you as those who must give an account. You know that those who God has placed over you have to give an account of what they taught you, what they preached at you, what they said to you during your time under them. They have to give an account. See, they're shepherds, but they're minor shepherds under the great shepherd. You know, we have to go before God. God, your people are hungry. God, your people are thirsty. Lord, get to me what you want them to have. And we will come to God, and the teachers and the preachers and the evangelists and the missionaries will come. Lord, I've got to come to these people. What do you want to say to them? And we're held accountable if we don't give it. I know some preachers, some so-called teachers, oh, I'm not going to say that, God, because, oh, man, they'll beat me up a lot. No. If this is what God wants to say to his people, it's for a reason. You need to say what God tells you to say. Amen? Amen. Ah, do this so that their work will be a joy. Woo! Not a burden, for that would be of no benefit to you. Pray for us. We are sure that we have a clear conscience and desire to live honorably in every way. I particularly urge you to pray so that you may be restored unto you soon. This is Paul speaking. Now may the God of peace, through whom the blood of the eternal covenant be brought back from the dead of our Lord Jesus, that the great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with every good for doing his will, that you may work in us what is pleasing to him, through Jesus Christ, to whom glory forever and ever. Amen. Brothers and sisters, I urge you to bear with my word of exhortation, for in fact I have written to you quite briefly. And I want you to know our brother Timothy has been released. If he arrives soon, I will come to see you. Greet all your leaders, all the Lord's people, and those from Italy send you their greetings. My Italian brothers. Right. Amen. Grace be with you all. Grace be with you all. Amen. Amen. I want to encourage you with this picture of a father. Either peace or woven. It depends on the walk you have with God. You know you can't be a fabulous father unless you have a faithful father. Faithful to your family, faithful to your heavenly father. The truth is there are too many fathers turn out to be failures. But I want to encourage you today, instead of being a failure as a father, be a faithful as a father. It's amazing how we go through stages of life in our relationships with our dads. First, no dad is perfect except Father God in heaven. How many of you know that? There is no perfect father. How many of you had a problem with your father growing up? Anybody? You raise your hand and me and you were out in the back of the church.
I didn't raise my hand. I'm smarter than that.
Talking to my son in the back. Anyway, praise God. Let's face it, if our fathers were not saved, we had problems with them because they were not perfect. And we saw that as we were growing up, they became less and less perfect in our eyesight. So I love this little story. In time, our perceptions of our fathers are much like a puzzle. We start with a few pieces, and as time goes on, we get more and more pieces. And at first, we think we have the whole picture with a few pieces in hand. But not until the last piece is laid do we really see and understand what God was creating in that man. We must also acknowledge those who are spiritual fathers as well. How many of you ever noticed a spiritual father? Somebody, maybe they don't even have children, but they'll take a young person under their wing and be a spiritual father to them. I often think of Cheech. Cheech was a spiritual father. He would take a lot of the young men, put them under his wing, and by his example, especially when he was younger, he encouraged the men of the church. He encouraged them, this is how a man of God should be. Would anybody here say Cheech was perfect? No. No. But God used him in a way to be a spiritual father to the young men of the church who were just coming up. I say Cheech, but there were others in the church as well. Amen? Spiritual fathers, people that the young men would look and say, yeah, I want to be like him when I get older. I want to be just like, especially Cheech. Cheech was a bull in a china shop. That's what I adored about him. He didn't care what you thought. Hey, if this is what the Word of God says, it's all that matters. And he would let you know something. Amen. Amen. First know no dad is perfect except our Father God in heaven. In time, our perception of our fathers, much like a puzzle, we start with a few pieces. As time goes on, I know I said this. First, we think we have the whole picture. It's not till the last pieces laid that we understand God was creating in that man. We must acknowledge those who are spiritual fathers as well. These are called to shape and mold children God has placed in their path. Now, Cheech had his own real children, but that never stopped him from being a spiritual dad. Amen? And as we get older, we're hoping that we can mold. I think of James. James doesn't have any of his own kids, but I see him as a spiritual father to his nephew. You know, he is an example. He is showing. How many of you are grandparents? I think everybody here is, except for my son in the back. As a grandparent, and if our children aren't going the right way, it's up to us to be spiritual mothers, spiritual fathers, and show them what God would have them to see. Amen? And it may not be a great, big, long, drawn-out sermon. It's just something simple, but it changes them. They get that piece, and they hang on to it. Someone said, at the age of 4, we explain, my dad can do anything. At the age of 10, we say, my dad knows a lot. By the age of 12, we're saying, we can't expect dad to know everything. At the age of 14, we say, my dad is hopelessly out of date and old-fashioned. By the time we reach 21 years of age, we're saying, what should I expect? He just doesn't understand. At the age of 25, we begin to say, my dad knows a little bit, but not too much. By the time we're 30, we say, I need to find out what dad thinks about this. At the age of 40, we ask, what would dad have thought? By the time we hit 50, we're saying, my dad knew everything. And at the age of 60, we usually say, I wish I could talk it over with dad just one more time. See the progression? And as the pieces start to fold, we get a different perception of that man. God is working on him. God is doing something in him. God is shaping him, forming him. And again, no man is perfect. It's sort of like a broken vessel. There are things in that that father's like, you may not know about that he went through as a child. Maybe he went to war and he saw things he can't even talk to you about. So he's broken in some part of his life. But God is able to take those pieces that are broken, shape them and mold them into something beautiful. But we don't give God the time. We think, oh, it should be an immediate thing. No, 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 no. Everything takes time. I don't know anybody that's opened a 500-piece box of puzzles, leveled it on the table, and said, I'm going to turn around and you better be a pitcher. Nobody does that. It takes time to put the pieces in, amen? Or woving a tapestry. It takes a lot of time. I don't know how they do with those weaves and those wounds and those I don't think they're called looms, what are they called?
Looms.
Looms, yeah, them too. The women's got the looms. Anyway, so looms. And after a time, we start, it's beautiful now. And as we put the pieces in, we start to see the picture that it's going to turn out to be.
Yes, Tom. If you ever turn over one of those needle points or anything that the...
Oh, yeah.
That are all crisscrossed.
Oh, horrible.
All over the place.
Yeah.
So it's like, it took a lot
That's
to
a good
there.
Point. What side of the loom are you looking at? I like that. What side are you looking at? Because you look at the backside of a puzzle, it's all brown and nasty and dirty and what is that? If you turn it over, sometimes you got to do that with a man. On the outside, we're crusty and we're old and we look like we're... But if you turn us over, you'll see the beautiful picture Christ is creating within us. Amen? I like that. Thank you, man. The ABC puzzle pieces of being a father. A, always trust them to God's care. B, bring them to church. C, challenge them to high goals. D, delight in their achievements. E, exalt the Lord in their presence. F, frown on evil. G, give them love. H, hear their problems. I, ignore not their childish fears. J, joyfully accept their apologies. K, keep their confidence. L, live a good example before them. N, make them your friends. N, never ignore their endless questions. O, open your home to their visits. P, pray for them by name. Q, quicken their interest in their spirituality. R, remember their needs. S, show them the way of salvation. T, teach them to work. U, understand they are still young. V, verify your statements. X, wean them from bad company. X-ray them with biblical eyes. Y, yearn for God's best for them. And Z, zealously guide them in biblical truth. And yet, we expect all these things all at once. No, these are just the pieces that God is working with in each and every father. Give God a chance to work these things in them, and you will have what God considers a finished product. And then we're not all going to be finished until we get to the other side. I understand this. But on this side, some of us get to a point where God says, this is as far as I can take you. I can't go any further because you'll break. How many of you ever been to that point? I get pushed any further, I'm going to break. I'm just not going to be able to bear up under it. Well, I like to use that scripture. Look, when you've done all, just simply stand. Simply stand. Stand and be anchored on that foundation, which is Christ, His Word, and let God do what He does best. And I always say it, look, when you've done everything, you've done all, you've prayed, you've fasted, you praised, you worshiped, you plead the blood, you went to warfare, just simply stand and wait. And watch God show up. Watch God show up. And God has shown up in many of the fathers that we know spiritually within the church. Now, if I were to ask you, does anybody have a father like that in the church? Anybody ever had a father like that? Who was... Yeah, it's hard to find. It's like finding a diamond in the rough. There are different aspects of their life that say, in some areas they were like that, but in other areas, no. Well, they're a work in progress. You ever hear that one? They're a work in progress. And I don't think any of us are going to be... We would like to have all those pieces working in our life, but I don't think it's ever going to happen until we get to the other side and God perfects us totally and completely. Amen? Amen. So, this morning, as we look at fathers, we look at their lives, we look at what they have and haven't done, we got to realize they're as human as you and me. They have their ups, they have their downs, they have their strengths, they have their weaknesses. And we have to take them as God gives them. But don't give up on them. Continue to pray for them. say, Lord, I want to lift up this spiritual father that I know. I want to lift up my natural father. I want to lift up this one or that one and bring them before the Lord. And Lord, do what you can. But just remember this, what you see on the outside isn't exactly what's happening on the inside. Amen? They're a work in progress like everybody else. And I will admit, men are harder to change. Men are harder to, what's the word I'm looking at? It's sort of like what Mark Weaver said to Pastor Bob about the church. It's like turning a battleship around in a small harbor. It takes a lot of time and a lot of effort. So it is in a man's life. You know, especially when God wants to make them into men, fathers, spiritual fathers for the younger generation. We're always looking for that spiritual shepherd, that one that we can look to and say, I want to emulate that particular person. Now, we've seen a lot of evangelists, a lot of top-name preachers, and then we find out they weren't as great as we thought they would work. They've had problems. They've had sin in their life, and we've become, what's the word I'm looking for here?
Disillusioned.
Yeah, that's the word. Disillusioned, because we considered them spiritual fathers. They were someone we wanted to follow. So many, especially today with the media that we have, we see, oh, this great big name, oh, that great big name, and then we find out they weren't as great as we thought they were. And then maybe we stop following them wholeheartedly. And we start looking for the next spiritual father on the horizon. Oh, this one seems, his life seems to be all together. Let me tell you something, nobody's got it all together. We all got that little bit of something that God is still working on. Amen?
Amen.
Everybody does. Look at our Mario Andretti over here. No, seriously. We all got something God is working on. We're not perfect. But I would say to you that remember, we all are a work in progress. I don't know anybody who's ever gotten to the point to say, I'm complete. I reached the top. There's no more for me to... No. There's always something. But it's always in God's time. God says, you know, today, this year, this particular moment, I can only take you this far, or you'll break. Later on, I will continue to work on you. Later on, I will continue to bring you to a new height. I'll bring you to a new revelation. I'll bring you into a... But for this moment, I need you to, what's the word I'm looking for, bake. You ever take a clay pot and put it in a kiln? I said that right. In a kiln, and you heat it up, but you got to wait till that actually kiln has done its job to it. Then you can take it out and glaze it and do, my son is famous for that story. Amen. Being an art teacher. There are just times when we got to say, God, here am I. Put me in your kiln. Put me in that place of God. Let it just make me what you want me to be at any given time, any given place. So fathers are a tough nut to crack sometimes, especially ones that aren't saved. Our God is doing what he can in their lives if we will allow him to work. I often think of that story about the person who had this little clock, and he brought it to the clock worker. And he said, oh, this clock is beautiful. It was handed down from my great-grandfather to my grandfather to my father to me. But now it's not working. He said, would you take a look and fix it? And he looked at it and said, yeah, I think I can work on it. He takes it in the back and he starts, and all of a sudden, he said, no, if you take that hand and move that glass there, no, we can't do that with God. We've got to leave that person with God. We can't stand over God's shoulder. You know, God, if you did it this way, and if you did it that way, and if you touched them there, oh, Lord, and if you crushed that, no. We need to leave that person in God's hand and let God do what he does so well. Lord, I've done all I can. I've tried to reason with them. I tried the wisdom. I tried everything. But now, Lord, only you can do what you can do. So I want to leave them in your hands. You shape them. You mold them. You soften them. You harden them. You do what you need to do in their lives. And I'm not going to tell you how to do it, when to do it. Because that clockmaker turned around and handed him back the clock. Here, show me. Show me. I'm sorry, I'm sorry. I'll leave you to your work. Yes, sometimes we've got to leave God to his work. Stop saying, Lord, when? We live in this microwave time. Oh, Lord, I want it yesterday. Oh, Lord, I need it right now. And God said, no, this is going to take some time. Leave them with me. Don't give up praying for them. Leave them with me. And let me do what I need to do. And I say that so often to fathers who have children that are rebellious, mothers too. Say, look, when God is about to do something in their life, don't pray them at it. Jonah needed a whale to come up into his life to swallow him and take him to the bottom of the ocean for 3 days to get him to repent. Well, guess what? For those children, sometimes God has got to bring a whale up in their life that's got to swallow them and take them down to the very bottom for 3 days to get them to repent. But if we're praying, oh God, don't let that whale come and swallow them. Oh God, they've been swallowed. Lord, deliver them from that whale. And God is saying, I thought you wanted them saved. I thought you wanted them out of the situation. Well, this is the only way it's going to happen. But you want me to pray? You want to pray them out of my hand? Can't do that. We got to say, and Brother Jim says it all the time, Lord, do what you got to do, but save them. Do what you got to do, but save them. Now, see, that's smart spiritual father. Lord, if they got to go to jail for a little while, Lord, if they got to go to rehab, Lord, if they got to do this, if they got to do that, Lord, I'm not going to pray them out of it. I'm going to just say, Lord, save them. Do what you have to do to get them delivered, to get them saved, to get them on the right path. And a lot of times we do that with backsliders. How many of you know somebody who's a backslider? Spiritual fathers, spiritual mothers will pray, Lord, I pray them back into the church, but Lord, it's got to be your way, the way you want to do it. So whatever you got to do in their life, Lord, bring them back, because I don't want to, I love brother so-and-so, I love sister so-and-so. And Lord, my desire is to see them back in church praising and worshiping you. So do what you got to do in their life. Hey, Paul. So this morning, I want to again say happy Father's Day to all the fathers, whether you be spiritual or whether you be real. You know that God has his hand on your life. And if you will allow him to, he will lead you and guide you into paths that will bring glory and honor to his name as fathers. Now, we have many fathers here. We have many men who have said, you know, I'll take on the mantle of father. Have we done it perfectly? You shut up. Yes, some have, but many of us have not. So, we pray this morning that all fathers would be blessed, they would be honored, we would lift them up in prayer and not quit on them. Just know that we're a work in progress. Amen?
Amen.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you through the name, through the blood of Jesus, and I thank you for the fathers that are in our lives. I thank you, Lord, for the spiritual fathers. Lord, I want to pray and thank you, Lord, for the spiritual fathers that will be, that you're working on them, Lord. You haven't given up on them, Lord. Lord, they haven't drawn their last breath and you haven't removed your hand from their lives. But Lord, do what you got to do to bring them into salvation. Bring them into that place, oh God, that they might know you and they might be called blessed. So Father, today, bless the fathers. And we pray it all through the name, through the blood of Jesus, and all of God's people said,
Amen. Amen.